from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
High fly ball deep center field and gone. Sadon Rafaela hits one out and it's 11-0.
Starting to get a reason, an understanding of why they gave this kid an 8-year contract before he got to the big leagues. As a fresh young face in the big leagues, 23 years old. And man, he's got some skills.
High fly ball to right. It is playable for Abreu. He makes the catch, and thankfully this one has come to a close. Boston wins it 17-0 as the Red Sox even up this series at a game apiece.
Benintendi gets this one in the air. Right center, Rosarena. The season, and he ties the game here in the fourth. Benintendi gets this one in the air. Right center, Rosarena. It is gone! Andrew Benintendi, his first bomb of the season, and he ties the game here in the fourth.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Well, well, well. Where you been? Actually, I know you've been here, and if you have been here for the past couple weeks hanging out with Chris Ranji, I appreciate you listening to Chris and being back here for me on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. Where you been, Speaks? What have you been doing? Well, I was in Detroit for a few days for the NFL draft. Last week, I was traveling for the Passover holiday. I don't even remember the week before that. It doesn't matter, but here's the deal. We're together today for 3 hours of baseball talk, baby, in our unique two-team town. Lots to get to today. Ryan Dempster, man, I was watching Marquee postgame last night. Yeah, I was the guy watching postgame after a 17-0 loss. It's kind of a long story, but I'm watching postgame, and I see Dempster's face up there next to Cubs and Red Sox logos, and I looked at it, I was like, man, that just looks right for the guy who won it all in 2013 with the Red Sox. And, of course, his Cubs Association predates that and postdates that. So it just looked way too good. So I had to ask Dempster to come on, and come on he will at 11 o'clock. Steve Stone will talk White Sox with us at the top of the 10 o'clock. And at 10:45, a look into a great documentary that's now turned into a book, Last Comiskey. Along the way, your phone calls, your texts, your input, and your listenership is key, frankly, to the very completion of the broadcast. It is Hit and Run. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And the Score listener line, which you'll be calling throughout the day, is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Has Caleb Williams's excellence raised the quality of baseball on both sides of town? Your thoughts? No, we're not going to do that today. But I feel like we should reset on a couple of things, okay? The number one thing to reset, to make sure that everybody knows, is that the Cubs are a very good team, a healthy organization, a deep, deep top end of the farm system, which means they're going to use a lot of guys. I think they've used 37 so far. and will probably use 50 or 60, is what Craig Counsell said to me and Danny Parkins earlier in the week. And they are a healthy organization, and I believe that they're going to win this division. At the very least, we are in for a full season of games of consequence with a relevant and exciting baseball team with playoff aspirations, and by season's end, maybe World Series aspirations. Look, Cade Horton is dealing at AA, and he's not an option right now. His pitch count high is 72 on the year. And there is still depth, even if Jordan Wicks's injury ends up being something scary, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Cade Horton could be an option eventually. Who's the closer eventually? I don't know. Hector Neris looking pretty good this week. But who is it eventually? I don't know. Maybe it's Ben Brown. Maybe it's somebody who's not on a roster, not in the organization. I don't know. But they will go out and get what they need, and it's already obviously a good team. With all these injuries, with this schedule, to be 17-10 at this point, you take it. And you allow yourself to be excited. Last night was hideous. Ben Brown was hit very hard. A lot of rockets off the bat against his arm. Luke Little, absolutely disastrous. And then Matt Mervis pitched. Look, a quick story, okay, folks? Me as a drummer, I'm a musician, I'm a singer. I can play a little trumpet. That's about it. A little piano, if needed, just a hair. I'm a horrific drummer. Like, I can't use my arms at the same time to create a beat of consequence. Here's why I tell you. I was once at a party where we were all playing music. It was somebody's birthday party. It was the Elbow Room. Anybody know the Elbow Room over there on Lincoln Avenue? Great, great place. Worst load-in in the history of the Chicago music scene. But anyway, my point is this. There was a guy playing drums at one point who was just so unbelievably bad that it was damaging the ability of all the other musicians, even just to make noise. And this is just, you know, low-end amateur musicians just having some fun at the Elbow Room. Anyway, the point is, I went up and bumped this drummer. And imagine how bad you have to be as a drummer to have me bump you as a drummer. That's what it was like when Patrick Wisdom had to relieve Matt Mervis last night. Matt Mervis pitched and couldn't make it out of the inning. I mean, it was... They were just wanting him to just go out there and throw gopher balls, let him hit it, somehow get three outs. He couldn't get out of the inning. Patrick Wisdom bumping Matt Mervis on the mound is like me bumping somebody on the drums. But here's the thing. It's kind of beautiful in the sense that baseball is life. You just take the L at 17-0. Take that loss. Yep, we got our ass kicked. How you doing? Let yourself feel it for a few minutes. Learn what you can from it. And flush it. Move on. Today is a brand new day. They're a good team, healthy organization. Hayden Wesneski will make the start in the space of Jordan Wicks. And I do believe that they are going to win this division. All right, before I get to the White Sox, and I do want to get to the White Sox in segment number one here, let's talk about this Jordan Wicks injury. It's a scary report because forearm tightness is often a precursor to bad news on the elbow. And we know what kind of era we're in for baseball, where elbow problems that lead to Tommy John or some kind of brace surgery or some kind of shutdown like Garrett Cole is undergoing with questions and a slow ramp up to play it safe. Like, it's everywhere, as you know. And so it's scary to see forearm tightness for Jordan Wicks. It's also scary because his velocity has been up this year. It's been up a few ticks. And the insatiable hunger for velocity is believed to be the number one reason. There are a lot of reasons for the injury boom with pitchers' elbows, but the insatiable quest for velocity is thought to be number one, that we've reached some of the limitations of what the human elbow can do. Jordan Wicks was a little beefy in camp, having gained a little bit of weight. There's good weight, there's bad weight. I don't know how all that plays in, but I've been told by people smarter than me that it can matter in terms of an overall body and the health of a pitcher. But this is a scary moment, and we'll see what happens. This is where I connect the fact that I'm antsy for Cade Horton, who threw five great innings at AA yesterday, and AA is often the new AAA, where you don't even bother to promote someone to AAA. You just bring him right up to the bigs. He's 22 years old. Why not use some of those bullets now in your rotation? Well, he's not really ready because he's only at 72 pitches, like I told you, in terms of being stretched out for a viable MLB start. And you're not as desperate as it seems. Right now, with Jameson Taillon, Shota Imanaga being what he is, Javier Assad, Ben Brown, even though he got rocked last night, and Hayden Wesneski today, that's five. Justin Steele looks like he's going to do a AAA rehab start on Wednesday, so that's getting closer. You're not quite as desperate as it seems, even if Jordan Wicks is down for a while. You'll look at other arms at AAA first. The part of it that's intriguing to me is that Wesneski, I think, is so valuable in that bullpen as a long man. I think you need at least one, if not two, bulk guys in that bullpen because of how short starters are going. And I really like Wesneski in that role. I will say, give it up for Keegan Thompson with what, 2 2/3 the other night? 2 2/3 the other night after Shota? If he can be a bulk guy, as was his previous role before he got used in some other spots, and then he seemed to kind of crumble a little bit and went down, man, that would be good. But I like the idea of Wesneski and Thompson as my bulk guys out of the bullpen as of right now, which is why I find myself thinking about starter depth. But let's wait and see what the deal is with Wicks. And it's obviously Wesneski today, and we can certainly talk about it more along the way. But all that stuff is on the radar. Okay, from the White Sox perspective, and this is before we're going to go to your phone calls for the last couple of segments of this hour, Steve Stone at the top of the 10. But let's say this. From a pure fan perspective, watching games to hang out and be entertained. Remember that as a concept? White Sox fans, remember that as like a goal every year? Oh, I'd like to watch some decent baseball, be entertained by my companion sport. Can we do that? Well, get the walk-off highlight ready from last night, okay? Sean Sears, nice to be reunited with Sean. I'm going to go ahead and call something. I believe right now this is the best moment of the White Sox season from the pure fan perspective. I hope it gets better than this for you right now, but if you're literally just watching to be entertained and see some decent games and like smile a little bit, you're here. You're here at the peak so far, because last night after the Benintendi homer that you heard in the open, down one run in the 10th, up he came and did this.
The tying run now 90 feet away. So Andrew Benintendi at the plate with Braden Shumake on deck.
Oh, you cut it there? You can't cut it there.
Southside, stand up! That's six runs driven in tonight by Andrew Benintendi. A three-run homer in the fourth, an RBI single in the fifth, and a two-run game-winning homer here in the 10th.
See, we needed all of the John Schriffen call because we have to get to his Southside stand-up. That'll do for every single game. But hey, you heard it in there, and you'll hear it again when we play it for Stoney. For all you haters, wait a minute. Look, it's a good moment. They've won two in a row for the first time. So that's nice. Welcome to the crowd of winning two in a row. But for all you haters, that was interesting. That's very insular. Obviously, it's very like people are out there hating on the White Sox. Well, that's true. They are. I wonder how Sox fans feel about that. Hearing your play-by-play announcer saying, for all you haters, it's a little, I don't know. I found it a little, I don't know.
My response is, oh, you're new here.
Yeah, but you know, look, I've been wanting to give John Schifrin time because he's got to do a lot of baseball to really know baseball and be good at baseball. And it's a tough spot. I thought overall that call was really fun.
That was a really good call, actually.
I thought that was a really good call. I thought it was really fun. It totally captured the release of emotion. It's a beautiful Saturday night on the South Side. There are 28,000 fans in attendance, some because of a hockey jersey giveaway or a hockey sweater giveaway, but whatever, man. You've beaten the Tampa Bay Rays two games in a row. Go ahead, man. Feel good about yourself. Feel good. I just didn't know if the haters thing was necessary. But hey, man, that's the realness. That's how it feels for him. We want these guys to be real. That was him. That was really him. And I thought the call was really, really fun. And a release of energy that that some Sox fans deserved. So look, that's as fun a back-and-forth game with a thrilling end as the White Sox have had. Two in a row right now, the best moment of a young and terrible season. Jonathan Cannon with his three starts in a row, and that one got hit around a little bit, but you know, it's not like you're looking at him as a high-end hope. I'll tell you, if you do want hope, if you are looking for wide-scale hope available, you have to zoom out and you look to Birmingham, and things are going well at the AA level for the White Sox. And it's only fair to point that out because I have railed in this space about minor league failures and what that portends for the big league club. And I've talked about it in the context of the team that's here right now, the Tampa Bay Rays. As I've said many times, the product at the end of a rebuild is a manifestation of how you draft and scout and develop. And folks, the Rays are always good because they are always drafting and scouting and developing at a high level. And their minor league teams win at every single level. The White Sox minor league teams have been horrific, absolutely awful. Looking at a fourth year in a row of Charlotte, the worst team in AAA with the worst run differential in their league. I mean, that's amazing. And Birmingham's been bad. Well, if Birmingham's good right now, let's look at it and let's acknowledge it and hope it portends a better future. A lot of White Sox talk in the next hour. Steve Stone will join us top of the 10, and we'll look at the last year of Comiskey at 10:45. Ryan Dempster at 11. Your phone calls and your texts the rest of this hour, along with this, all of the important Cubs stuff that may have been overshadowed over the last couple days by the Bears draft. It's a moment for us to catch up on important stuff regarding a very good baseball team in town. So that's what we'll do the rest of the hour, mixed in with your phone calls and your texts. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
We're back with more hit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run.
No way. Too high. You said me too high.
Too high.
Not too high. Too hard. Right?
First was really high. High.
Who gives a shit? It's gone.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, the lefty Shota Imanaga.
Couldn't ask for much more than what we've gotten from Shota Imanaga. He's been brilliant thus far. He's not a ground ball guy. You can see well below league average. Strikeout rate above league average. Walk rate way below league average.
Imanaga didn't need defense on that one. He got Rep Snyder to chase upstairs. 1-2-3 go the Red Sox.
Red Sox returning home from Cleveland.
Swing and a miss, struck him out. Devers is gone.
Back-to-back strikeouts here for Shota.
2-2 on Bobby Dalbec, and the lefty delivers. Swing and a miss and a strikeout. Swing and a miss, and Imanaga gets the strikeout of Valdez.
Shota Imanaga making his fifth start of this season.
Oh, that's a nice play. Imanaga showing off the glove work. Didn't even use the bare hand. It steals a hit right there from Jaron Duran.
But cat-like Shota on it, and then a little flip. Hayden Wesneski made a brilliant play the other day going towards third base off the mound, and now Shota, showtime.
Shota Imanaga has been absolutely great. He has been truly, truly great. And it's way better than even Cub fans could have dreamed, right? It's Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. I'm Matt Spiegel here with you. And we are talking baseball and enjoying it very, very much. And callers, will get to you in a matter of moments. But I want to catch you up, everyone, and really catch myself up on some big Cubs doings. When a team is this good and off to a start this promising against a schedule that hard, with this many injuries, without Bellinger, without Suzuki, without Steele, without Merriweather, with a closer who blew four saves before being replaced, I mean, it is a remarkable start with all of those things considered. And we should point out some reasons why. One of them is Shota Imanaga with his 0.98 ERA. That is the lowest ERA by a Cubs rookie through his first five starts ever. And the lowest by a new Cubs pitcher in his first five starts since Cole Hamels dominated at the 2018 trade deadline. You remember that? That was awesome, and this is what it has been like and looked like. And he's the first starting pitcher to go 4-0 or better with an ERA below one in his first five career games since Boo Ferris in 1945. That's what we're talking about. Cubs have won every game Shota Imanaga has started. He's a huge part of their start, and he is, as proclaimed before and then especially after the home opener, when me and Danny Parkins were up there in Pat and Ron's booth, he's fun. Like, it's crazy how much fun he is. He is entertaining. He is unpredictable in terms of how the reactions are. Do you see the look? Was it Tyler O'Neill who homered to straightaway center just about, and Imanaga looked at it, he's like, wow, that's something. And he kind of gave a little nod, like, okay. He got me. Let's move on, shall we? And he gave up nothing else after that. And there's pauses, there's smiles, there's wackiness, there's fans that maybe you had seen who are painting their chests with his name. And Shota then buys them shirts because he doesn't want them to be too cold. There's these videos of like a Cubs staffer throwing a marshmallow across the room and Shota catching it in his mouth like he's a member of the Blue Man Group.
Said if he gets this, he can sleep well.
Uh-huh. He gets this, he'll sleep well. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah! Yeah, made the catch. I know way too much about the Blue Man Group marshmallow bit because my brother used to be in the band for Blue Man Group, and I know a bunch of the musicians that are in there. Find me off the air one time, and I'll give you some secrets of the Blue Man.
Yeah,
some secrets of that Blue Man marshmallow bit. I don't know if Shota was doing it or not. Probably not. But anyway, He's been absolutely great. Cubs All Access, taking advantage of it. Matt Romito and the Cubs Productions guys over there doing a great job. Here's a little video of Shota along with Yency Almonte and Hector Neris talking. At the beginning, you hear some Japanese fans who talked about wanting to come see Shota at Wrigley after they watched him in the World Baseball Classic. Then you hear some English after that.
アメリカ戦で決勝のピッチャーだったので、で実際に見てみたいと思って来ました。
ね、でも可愛い可愛い。ね、可愛い。
For us, is he's cute.
To watch someone that's never really been in the States, come from an entirely different culture, into the most competitive league in the world, I mean, it's just an unreal adjustment that you have to make. But he's made a great first impression so far.
I'm a gentleman.
Say something in Japanese.
Yeah.
How are you? 調子はどうですか?
How are you?
How are you? 調子は?
調子は?
どうですか?
どうですか? 調子はどうですか?
We say 元気ですか?
元気ですか?
元気です。
元気です。
元気ですか?
元気です。
元気です。
Okay, Naruto Sumagi.
元気ですか?
Naruto Sumagi. You like ramen? You like ramen?
Yeah.What kind of ramen?
Show you ramen for me. Show you for me.
No, like a barbecue. Como se llama?
Miso.
Miso or tonkatsu?
Miso, show you tonkatsu.
No, miso.
In LA, Pasadena, the last 2 years, it's a place called Sato Ramen House. I told Seiya, when we go this year, I take him, I take you too.
All right.
Good?
Good.
My, on me.
Yency Almonte are going to take Seiya and Shota out for ramen when they get...to Los Angeles. Just, I wanted to catch you up and make people understand what a phenomenon that guy is right now. And people are talking about it all around baseball and within the Cubs. Not only is he pitching great, but he's super fun and a great addition. And he'll have to be great the way that the rotation injuries keep coming. All right. Another big thing from the Cubs week, and callers will get to you, but want to catch up on a few things. Pete Crow Armstrong came up last year and didn't get a hit.He bunted at one point in a moment of embarrassment that showed you just how far away he was from feeling viable and how far away the Cubs and David Ross were from him feeling viable. He has since come up again after the Bellinger rib injury, and Craig Counsell has said he doesn't have to do too much. He's not replacing Cody. Just do what he does well. So anyway, on Thursday, PCA was up.In a game where the Cubs were trailing 1-0 in the sixth inning, and he got ahead in the count. And Ron Coomer talked about, well, this is a spot where I would take, I'd think, if I'm Pete Crow Armstrong, but that's not exactly the way it went.
All right, Andrew Abreu. Oh! Crow Armstrong hits one in the air! Deep right field! This is going to go! It's gone!Major league hit for Pete Crow Armstrong is a bomb to right. And the Cubs take the lead. 3-1 over the Astros here in the sixth. That's a wow.
PCA looking good at the plate since then, too. Great call by Zach Zaman right there on 670 the score. PCA with an opposite field gapper to the base of the monster there in Fenway.And he looks to be much more comfortable. When they don't think you can hit, they'll throw you heaters down the pipe. You must make them pay. The slug has been there in PCA's game in the minors. And he doesn't have to think about that and try for that. That can get you in trouble in the bigs. But when the opportunities present themselves, take advantage. And PCA has.One other development. Had a chance to ask Craig Counsell on Parkins and Spiegel last week, as Sean Sears preps the cut from Parkins and Spiegel last week, about closers without velocity. Whether you have to have somebody throwing 98, 99 these days in MLB to get saves.
So many different closer profiles in our past baseball lives, Craig, whether it's Trevor Hoffman in a changeup or Doug Jones going back longer or whatever. Like, could it even be an option in the league right now to have somebody who throws off speed, or do you have to find, you know, that great dominant swing and miss with velocity to be a closer in the modern game?
You got to get people out. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, then the pitchers who are really good at getting guys out, however they do it, are the guys that end up at the back of the game. So, you know, it's as simple as that. There's pitchers kind of solve the getting hitter out problem, like, in a lot of different ways. And it's based on kind of what they're good at and what their pitch characteristics are. And, you know, I think certainly this, we're in an age where velocity is, you know, taking a jump and is king. And the and vast majority of the guys you're going to see back there are very hard throwers. But it's not always the case. Kenley Jansen's closing games. He's not throwing, you know, he's a 90 throwing 92, 93 at this point. So it's not every single closer, but it's certainly the most of them.
So that's Craig Counsell. And then after that, Hector Neris is in. Hector Neris has gotten three saves. He maxes out at about 92 these days. Neris does have a very good changeup. And I'll tell you what he's doing right now. You look on his Baseball Savant page, and it shows you the percentile, like how good among 100% of pitchers is a certain player at all these different things. And it shows you velocity. It shows you hard hit rate. It shows you a million things. It can be useful. And the shorthand of it is, if you see blue, bad. If you see red, good. If the red gets darker, very, very good. He is dark red, 98%. 98th percentile in one thing, ground ball rate. And after he got in trouble on Thursday, he loaded the bases with nobody out. The man got ground balls, got two of them, and that helped him get out of the inning. So, look, Craig Counsell says you just need out-getters. Right now, that's what you have as a closer, is an out-getter. I like hearing Counsell talk. I agree with this texter. He's honest. He's dry. He's not super exciting to some fans that want it, but he is very, very wise. One text we'll get to you right now, right here. Hey, Matt, good to hear you back talking Cubs on a Sunday morning. Here's my early season prediction. The Cubs are going to end up trading for Verlander. Perfect fit. His contract is up at the end of the year. Houston has already dug themselves into a hole. And a few years back, Verlander wanted to play for the Cubs. That's a fun prediction, Texter. That is fun. Yes, Verlander wanted to be here, but the Cubs had already traded for Jose Quintana that year. So instead, he accepted a trade to Houston. How's that going? Houston can't get out of their own way, get swept by the Cubs. They're one of, like, I think it's four teams with single-digit wins. It's the Astros. It doesn't even make sense. The single-digit win group includes the White Sox. It includes the Oakland A's, the Houston Astros, and the Miami Marlins. Actually, does it include the Oakland A's? It doesn't. Excuse me. So it's the Astros, the White Sox, the Marlins, and the Rockies. Those are the four single-digit win teams in MLB. All right, that's catching you up on a few important Cubs items we needed to get to. 670, the score is where you are. Let's go to Ben in Queens. Ben, you are first caller up on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Steve, I hope you had a good Pesach, and I hope that everyone in your family is doing well.
Thank you, sir.
I'm an avid reader. I'm now concurrently reading both Jeff Passan's The Arm, which I find absolutely fascinating. And I'm also reading the book that you have to read if you want to get a job in a Major League Baseball front office, and that is Thinking Fast and Slow by the Nobel Prize winner in economics, Daniel Kahneman. And I wanted to just say this, because the Cubs have shown that they are the Thinking Fast and Slow. There's two systems that humans have developed of how to think. Thinking fast, that's what's kept us alive. This is hot. There's a bear. Run. Don't get wet. You know, and then there's the thinking slow. Oh, look at the stars. We can check this out and we can go where we want. Oh, here's how a calendar works. So in other words, the Cubs, like, thinking fast is what Cubs fans are on the Twitch chat, right? Oh, we got to re-sign Javi Baez. Oh, why don't we have Chris Bryant back? Give Cody Bellinger seven years, $260 million. But the Cubs, no, they went into thinking slow. You know that interview with Crane Kinney at the beginning of the year at the home opener? That was revelatory, how they talked about how they examined all the teams, who exactly could afford Bellinger and under what circumstances. Hmm. And they ended up winning that because they thought slow and they thought through it. And in the long run, That's how they did it. That's how they built this team, by thinking slow and by making the right moves. And I will say that Jed and Carter, the two-headed hydra, Jed and Carter, are better than Theo and Jed. Theo could be a little bit impulsive. If you remember, you know, hey, we want Ian Stewart. You can have DJ LeMahieu. Brandon Morrow, he had an injury history his whole career. No, we're going to give him 2 years, $11 million. Now the Cubs, they are completely about building a good team. And the Shota deal, I mean, the Shota deal, that just proves that the Cubs are the supreme thinkers, I think, in Major League Baseball, the way they
put this together. Whoa. All right. A little over the top, but great, great stuff from you, Ben. Really interesting. And you're right about the Theo and Jed partnership, where Theo was often the more impulsive one, and Jed had to hold him back a little bit sometimes. And now Jed is the impulsive one. Don't you remember last year at Gallagher Way when I had a chance to ask Carter Hawkins, have you thought about bringing up Cade Horton as a bullpen piece? And he looked at me and he said, who are you, Jed? Because that's what Jed thinks like sometimes. It just throws that out there. But Jed comes from a long, long run of being the thinking slow guy. So they have a good mix right now. Some bad moves last year, like signing Mancini, like signing Hosmer, like signing Tucker Barnhart. We don't know specifically who did that and who did not. But that was just kind of trying to stay viable in the short term. Right now seems to be a lot of good decisions going on. And with that means not panicking for Cade Horton in the rotation right now, no matter how much I kind of like the idea. Steve Stone at the top of the hour. We'll talk to him about the great White Sox win, a great call by John Schriffen and him at the end of the game. But we'll also ask about the haters and exactly what that's all about as well. Callers, thanks for waiting. We get to you next before Stone at the top of the hour on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Here's the pitch. Crow Armstrong drills one into right center field. It drops in for a base hit. Around third and coming home is Swanson. He scores. And the Cubs take a 2-0 lead over the Red Sox. RBI single by Pete Crow Armstrong. He's on fire after that home run.
Pete Crow Armstrong is indeed rolling. That is Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. They'll be with you tonight for the finale from Boston. Pre-game and post-game for that radio call will be performed by me. Yeah, I get to come back. So I'm looking forward to that. I get to do pre-game and post-game tonight for Cubs Red Sox at Fenway. And for a kid who grew up a Red Sox fan, a young man who went to college at Emerson in Boston pretty much so I could go to about 25 to 30 Red Sox games a year between 88 and 92. And then has obviously been a Chicago denizen since 92 and has been close to that team and et cetera. This is a series I'm looking forward to being attached to this evening for pre and post. I don't think that Mike Greenwell, Ellis Burks, and Todd Benzinger will be there, but I can't be sure.
That was going to be my question.
I just can't be. I don't know if Mike Boddicker will be warming up in the bullpen before he goes out to throw a playoff game. I don't know. I don't know if Ozzie Guillen will be there to hit a sinking line drive to right that Tom Brunansky makes a diving catch on to clinch the 1991 American League East, because I was there for that. But I don't think that'll be going on tonight. But either way, I'll be there for Cubs, Red Sox. 5:35 is your pregame that I'll have for you tonight, so make sure to tune in and hang around. To the phone lines we go. He made a baseball call 3 weeks ago. Folks, he's back. He's Sean in Romeoville on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I'm going to stick to the human element. Excuse my voice fighting something. I came in at the tail end of your segment about pitching.
Yes,
and it made me think about football. Like, you know, as long as players, you know, you just can't make football safer, right? You just can't. I mean, unless you're going to play flag football, you're not going to make it safer. You know, players are getting bigger, faster, stronger, and it's the same with pitching. I mean, unless you're going to put pitching machines out there, I don't think there's much you can do about it. And you know, when it comes to humans, man, you know, a lot of times it's the bottom dollar. You know, like we can gloss over these things. Owners can gloss over these things as long as the bottom line isn't really impacted. So when I want to throw something else at you and I'll be done, you know, as a mental health professional, you know, I've had to certify and petition people. And I know how easily people can become unhinged and unstable. And twice on the score, man, I've heard producers play a song when the Chicago mayor is talking, and the song is by Pharoah Much. It's called "I Shot the Mayor." And it's a very elaborate scheme about him planning to assassinate the mayor. And I just think that's dangerous. And I know hip hop. So, and the song's like from 99, but go and listen to it. It's Pharoah Much, "I Shot the Mayor." I just think things like that are dangerous and reckless today. It's unfortunate we have to think like that, that people can't think for themselves, but we'd be amazed at how easily people are inspired to do bad things. So I'm sure a lot of people might not know that. I'm sure there's no ill intent, but we just have to be careful with that stuff.
All right, interesting. I'll ask our senior audio producer, Chris Tannehill, if he's hip to that at all. But thank you for the call, Sean. In terms of the injuries, MLB has allowed the game to be evolved to the point where you want everybody to be throwing as hard as they possibly can, including starting pitchers, and they only have to worry about two times through the order. Show everything you got. Like, I don't know that it's going to be possible to put the genie back in the bottle and showcase pitchers who, you know, don't give you everything they have early on because they're holding something in the tank for the third or the fourth time through. I miss starting pitchers like that. CeCe Sabathia and Justin Verlander are guys who did it deep into an era where it had gone away. And Verlander will still do it sometimes if he'll be healthy enough and be trusted to get to the seventh or the eighth. You'd be like, oh my God, he does have 98. It's there. You know, he didn't give it to you at the beginning, but it is there. Pitchers don't learn like that. They're not asked to do that anymore. And relievers are certainly asked to just come in and give you absolutely everything at 100% maximum effort. And when you combine that with the effectiveness of velocity, you end up with a problem that we have. Let's go to Dean in Rolling Meadows on 670 The Score. Good morning, Dean. Welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Spiegs. Welcome back. I love your show. I'm a first-time caller, dude.
Thanks, Dean.
Hey, think the division you were right about, Matt, they can do this, maybe 90 games. My question is, do you think the head-to-head with the Brewers early could really set the tone for the season? We get Steele back. I think this could be our division, but the Brewers can't be that good. We know we're good. They lost Corbin and Santana, and they lose their manager. So I want to listen to your thoughts, and I'm glad I got to talk to you. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it. Look, Murphy, Pat Murphy, Craig Counsell's buddy and his former coach, is obviously a good manager, and that is a very healthy organization that has young people that they can bring up as cheap labor time and time again, and they have grown very comfortable with bringing those folks up and expecting excellence from them and getting it. So, look, as far as the first Brewers series setting the tone, let's have some fun and embrace it and look at that. But we know all too well a team can play very well for 4.5-5 months and then absolutely crumble in September. So I will be enjoying that series when it comes and hoping that the Cubs dominate and set a tone. But you're going to have to be on high alert for all Brewers games all season long. John is in Logan Square, and we'll wrap up the hour of Hit and Run on The Score. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good.
So the Cubs are in a bad spot. I think they've been getting really, really lucky by winning some of these games while injured. Right now, the Brewers have four guys in the NL that are in the top 14 in WAR. Four. The Cubs barely make the top 50 list of a couple players. They need, unfortunately, to start thinking about how they can make some trades, because without these offensive players, they're missing probably 30, 40 home runs over total life of the season. Who do you see as a potential trade partner, probably in the AL? Is it going to be like a Seattle or a Toronto? When do we start thinking about that and planning for that? Because this roster, with the injuries, they can't compete with
LA. What are you talking about, hitters, or are you talking about pitchers?
No, just straight up hitters. We are not going to keep getting this lucky. Our highest offensive WAR player is Tauchman, with 0.6 WAR.
Yeah, well,
Michael
you know,
Bush is,
I understand, and I love that you have a passion for wins above replacement and are looking at it, and you're willing to see the difference between, say, a 0.6 WAR player in Talkman and Mookie Betts, who's already over two, by the way. See that Mookie Betts is already over two wins. But, you know, get a little bit more granular here. This offense was good last year, third in runs scored in the National League, and hit the ground running really well this year. If Suzuki and Bellinger are out long term, then yeah, they might have to get aggressive, but my bet is that they'll be aggressive inside the house with guys like Matt Shaw and Owen Casey. Here's Pete Crow Armstrong. If he's feeling comfortable as a hitter and can give you something of consequence, well, good. You're going to see a lot of roster churn, okay? I mean, you've got Matt Mervis up now, and you've got Patrick Wisdom here. You've got Alexander Canario up now, you know, and you'll see some more roster churn in that way before you see them get aggressive to go out and get a hitter, because I believe that they think they can piece together some wins here, and they don't need to get desperate for a hitter at all at this point, in my opinion. And in terms of the pitching, I mean, I think they will be in line to go out and get a starting pitcher if needed, and they will be in line to go out and get a reliever if needed, and we'll have plenty of time to investigate it. But the call is coming from inside the house. The replacements and the help are going to be coming from inside the house for the most part for the first couple of months of this season. All right, let's talk White Sox with Steve Stone. A really fun Sox game last night and a thrilling walk-off call, but also a reference to haters that I need to try and unpack a little bit. Steve Stone next with me, Matt Spiegel, Ryan Dempster at 11. So keep it here for Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Here's the pitch. Crow Armstrong drills one into right center field. It drops in for a base hit. Around third and coming home is Swanson. He scores. And the Cubs take a 2-0 lead over the Red Sox. RBI single by Pete Crow Armstrong. He's on fire after that home run.
Pete Crow Armstrong is indeed rolling. That is Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. They'll be with you tonight for the finale from Boston. Pre-game and post-game for that radio call will be performed by me. Yeah, I get to come back. So I'm looking forward to that. I get to do pre-game and post-game tonight for Cubs-Red Sox at Fenway. And for a kid who grew up a Red Sox fan, a young man who went to college at Emerson in Boston pretty much so I could go to about 25 to 30 Red Sox games a year between 88 and 92. And then has obviously been a Chicago denizen since 92 and has been close to that team and et cetera. This is a series I'm looking forward to being attached to this evening for pre and post. I don't think that Mike Greenwell, Ellis Burks, and Todd Benzinger will be there, but I can't be sure.
That was going to be my question.
I just can't be. I don't know if Mike Boddicker will be warming up in the bullpen before he goes out to throw a playoff game. I don't know. I don't know if Ozzie Guillen will be there to hit a sinking line drive to right that Tom Brunansky makes a diving catch on to clinch the 1991 American League East, because I was there for that. But I don't think that'll be going on tonight. But either way, I'll be there for Cubs, Red Sox. 5:35 is your pregame that I'll have for you tonight, so make sure to tune in and hang around. To the phone lines we go. He made a baseball call 3 weeks ago. Folks, he's back. He's Sean in Romeoville on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I'm going to stick to the human element. Excuse my voice fighting something. I came in at the tail end of your segment about pitching.
Yes,
and it made me think about football. Like, you know, as long as players, you know, you just can't make football safer, right? You just can't. I mean, unless you're going to play flag football, you're not going to make it safer. You know, players are getting bigger, faster, stronger, and it's the same with pitching. I mean, unless you're going to put pitching machines out there, I don't think there's much you can do about it. And you know, when it comes to humans, man, you know, a lot of times it's the bottom dollar. You know, like we can gloss over these things. Owners can gloss over these things as long as the bottom line isn't really impacted. So I want to throw something else at you and I'll be done. You know, as a mental health professional, you know, I've had to certify and petition people. And I know how easily people can become unhinged and unstable. And twice on the score, man, I've heard producers play a song when the Chicago mayor is talking, and the song is by Pharoah Munch. It's called "I Shot the Mayor." And it's a very elaborate scheme about him planning to assassinate the mayor. And I just think that's dangerous. And I know hip hop. So, and the song's like from 99, but go and listen to it. It's Pharoah Munch, "I Shot the Mayor." I just think things like that are dangerous and reckless today. It's unfortunate we have to think like that, that people can't think for themselves, but we'd be amazed at how easily people are inspired to do bad things. So I'm sure a lot of people might not know that. I'm sure there's no ill intent, but we just have to be careful with that stuff.
All right. Interesting. I'll ask our senior audio producer, Chris Tannehill, if he's hip to that at all. But thank you for the call, Sean. In terms of the injuries, MLB has allowed the game to be evolved to the point where you want everybody to be throwing as hard as they possibly can, including starting pitchers, and they only have to worry about two times through the order. Show everything you got. Like, I don't know that it's going to be possible to put the genie back in the bottle and showcase pitchers who, you know, don't give you everything they have early on because they're holding something in the tank for the third or the fourth time through. I miss starting pitchers like that. CC Sabathia and Justin Verlander are guys who did it deep into an era where it had gone away. And Verlander will still do it sometimes if he'll be healthy enough and be trusted to get to the seventh or the eighth. You'd be like, oh my God, he does have 98. It's there. You know, he didn't give it to you at the beginning, but it is there. Pitchers don't learn like that. They're not asked to do that anymore. And relievers are certainly asked to just come in and give you absolutely everything at 100% maximum effort. And when you combine that with the effectiveness of velocity, you end up with a problem that we have. Let's go to Dean in Rolling Meadows on 670 The Score. Good morning, Dean. Welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Spiegs. Welcome back. I love your show. I'm a first-time caller, dude.
Thanks, Dean.
Hey, think the division you were right about, Matt, they can do this, maybe 90 games. My question is, do you think the head-to-head with the Brewers early could really set the tone for the season? We could steal back. I think this could be our division, but the Brewers can't be that good. We know we're good. They lost Corbin and Santana, and they lose their manager. So I want to listen to your thoughts, and I'm glad I got to talk to you. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate it. Look, Murphy, Pat Murphy, Craig Counsell's buddy and his former coach, is obviously a good manager, and that is a very healthy organization that has young people that they can bring up as cheap labor time and time again. And they have grown very comfortable with bringing those folks up and expecting excellence from them and getting it. So, look, as far as the first Brewers series setting the tone, let's have some fun and embrace it and look at that. But we know all too well a team can play very well for 4.5, 5 months and then absolutely crumble in September. So I will be enjoying that series when it comes and hoping that the Cubs dominate and set a tone. But you're going to have to be on high alert for all Brewers games all season long. John is in Logan Square, and we'll wrap up the hour of Hit and Run on the Score. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good.
So the Cubs are in a bad spot. I think they've been getting really, really lucky by winning some of these games while injured. Right now, the Brewers have four guys in the NL that are in the top 14 in WAR. Four. The Cubs barely make the top 50 list of a couple players. They need, unfortunately, to start thinking about how they can make some trades, because without these offensive players, they're missing probably 30, 40 home runs over total life of the season. Who do you see as a potential trade partner, probably in the AL? Is it going to be like a Seattle or a Toronto? When do we start thinking about that and planning for that? Because this roster, with the injuries, they can't compete with
LA. What are you talking about, hitters, or are you talking about pitchers?
No, just straight up hitters. We are not going to keep getting this lucky. Our highest offensive WAR player is Tauchman with 0.6 WAR.
Yeah, well, Michael, you know, I understand, and I love that you have a passion for wins above replacement and are looking at it, and you're willing to see the difference between, say, a 0.6 WAR player and Tauchman and Mookie Betts, who's already over 2, by the way. See that Mookie Betts is already over 2 wins. But, you know, get a little bit more granular here. This offense was good last year, third in runs scored in the National League, and hit the ground running really well this year. If Suzuki and Bellinger are out long term, then yeah, they might have to get aggressive. But my bet is that they'll be aggressive inside the house with guys like Matt Shaw and Owen Casey. Here's Pete Crow Armstrong. If he's feeling comfortable as a hitter and can give you something of consequence, well, good. You're going to see a lot of roster churn, okay? I mean, you've got Matt Mervis up now, and you've got Patrick Wisdom here. You've got Alexander Canario up now, you know? And you'll see some more roster churn in that way before you see them get aggressive to go out and get a hitter. Because I believe that they think they can piece together some wins here, and they don't need to get desperate for a hitter at all at this point, in my opinion. And in terms of the pitching, I mean, I think they will be in line to go out and get a starting pitcher if needed, and they will be in line to go out and get a reliever if needed, and we'll have plenty of time to investigate it. But the call is coming from inside the house. The replacements and the help are going to be coming from inside the house for the most part, for the first couple of months of this season. All right, let's talk White Sox with Steve Stone. A really fun Sox game last night and a thrilling walk-off call, but also a reference to haters that I need to try and unpack a little bit. Steve Stone next with me, Matt Spiegel, Ryan Dempster at 11. So keep it here for Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.